Hey, you guys, welcome to Talk About That, our podcast. I'm John Driver here with my friends Johnny W. and Dane Allen. How you doing, guys?
Great.
Doing good.
It's going to be an awesome show today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to catch up on. I'm really enjoying that music that we heard to bring us into the podcast today. Well done.
Thank
Where
you.
Did that come from?
Thank
Was
you.
That... Was that a number one hit somewhere off the radio, or
that we don't have money for royalties for?
No. So I actually produced that at home, wow. And then my buddy Andrew Gomez, who I play in the band with, he mixed and mastered it.
Ooh,
so
beautiful.
Sounds yeah, fancy.
I think he's the best.
And, we have a lot of talented friends.
You know, it's pretty fun. I've never done anything like that, so it was cool to like kind of.
I still think
do a
it needs a little hook.
Song.
Don't you think it needs like a little lyric hook?
It,
some
it
falsetto
would be yeah, cool. Maybe I don't know. We could
talk
explore
about
it.
That.
Some,
that only if you do it.
BGs.
Like
in key, please, Johnny.
Out of curiosity, when you're recording something like that at your house, does it keep your wife awake? Like, or you have to
yeah,
go to the pri- okay?
It totally. If I'm singing, because I sing like really loudly sometimes, uh-huh, and for some reason I don't know why I do this, but I wait until Emily is home or it's she's in bed to sing track vocals on a demo or something. So she constantly is just mad at me because I wake her up, or she'll send
that's
me
the
angry
life, the
texts
life of an artist's wife, man.
She's the best. She's a trooper. But fortunately, with podcast stuff, and especially that song, like it didn't wake her up because I didn't have to sing on it.
Yeah.
The guitar
yeah,
is pretty quiet, and there's a door or a couple doors separating us, so it's not that bad.
Do you use an amp or just plug it in direct?
Direct. Okay. I've got something called 11 oh, rack that's like amp simulation.
That was the next model after the Unleaven,
which
rack,
is that's the yeah.
It's way smaller.
That's
yeah,
terrible.
Doesn't.
That's
it's
terrible.
Got, it's got automatic passover switches. And so.
That's good. Well, hi guys, I think we know the most important thing going on in the world today
yep,
is obviously what happened with the UT Florida
complete
game.
And utter collapse. I told my friend, because
wow,
I have friends who text me from all, I have comedian friends all over the country. They text me, sorry, bro. I assume you saw it. And I'm like, somebody died. Like, sorry to hear about your dog that has leukemia. Like, it was that kind of
text. How would your friends know, by the way, about your dog if he had leukemia?
Well, I don't know. They just reach out.
I'm always the last one to find out.
my friends told me. Yeah, I wrote a really dark joke the other day, and I there's nowhere I can tell it, but it was basically like, I was really relieved when the vet told me that, what was it? I was really relieved when the vet told me that the procedure was a success, but then I remembered we had brought my dog to have him put down.
Oh,
that's
wow,
a really dark joke.
Good grief! Out of the gate.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, my dog doesn't have leukemia, by the way, guys. Hang in there. But no, my friends were like, "Oh, sorry, bud," and I'm like, and honestly, my response to them was, "I'm not surprised at all."
Really?
I'm not surprised at all that we found a new and creative way to lose. That game.
Yeah. You know, I was surprised that we could, because the momentum was all ours. John Kelly, our running back.
Dude, mm-hmm, only there at the end, though.
No, the whole fourth quarter. You know, we were down by 10 going into the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter is the
John
end of the
Kelly
game.
But it's a long quarter. It's not like we're talking about the last 2 minutes. John Kelly is literally.
No, he was carrying the team.
He is running everybody over in his path,
yeah,
and we
dude,
get to
that
the 10 yard line. He's
that
amazing.
That guy is a star.
Amazing. Runs so hard with passion.
But not just hard, like he is graceful. Like he knows how to
yep,
shuck and jive like the rest. Like he's the best. I think he's the greatest player on UT's team.
Well, there's no doubt. He's certainly the key to it. And you get to the 10-yard line. Now, look, I do not fancy myself a coach. I am certainly, now, Johnny, as you pointed out the last episode, perhaps I have emotional attachments. And you would even say that at times they are not rational.
Mm-mm.
Okay. But just being rational here and seeing myself outside of myself, my self-awareness and evaluation, I know I'm not a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that they're calling all kinds of schemes and plays and other things that I'm not seeing, and that they're moving about related to what defense is showing them and all that. But I do know this from watching football my whole life, that if you have the ball in the red zone
mm-hmm,
and your running back is the one that brought you all the way there down the field, there is no excuse that I can find in my mind. Now, listen, there may have been. I do think that Quentin Dormady, the quarterback, I think he changed the play. It's like the second quarter. We had it on like the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
It was first down mm-hmm. with 1 yard to go.
Yeah.
And we ran 3 pass plays and an interception.
It was a lot like that Seattle drive that lost them the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody put that on Twitter.
All they had to do was, hand it off to Lynch. And they, you know what? Wouldn't it be crazy here? Let's throw a fade pattern.
Yeah, let's throw. We got a brand new quarterback, and he threw it to. And the one guy, the freshman, ran the wrong route. He threw it right to the defender.
Yeah.
Now, he changed the play at the line. The coaches could have called in a running play. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened the 4 plays after that. And then at the end of the game, same exact thing. You are inside the 20-yard line with a minute to go and 3 timeouts. For the love, run the ball. If you go to Twitter, it was absolutely exploding. Former players, everybody, mm-hmm. with expletives, run the bleeping ball, like over and over and over again. We threw 3 passes, didn't use our timeouts. We were playing for overtime. We're not playing to win, apparently. We were playing for overtime, and that's when they threw the dagger.
Well, Florida fans got really angry there at the end, too, because it seemed like they were playing for overtime as well. Remember they called that run play right up the middle?
They didn't call timeout right away.
Yeah, like they were trying for the field goal.
Yeah, they certainly had. Yeah, we bailed them out because my buddy down in Florida is a Florida fan. Of course, he's texting me the whole time because, you know, that's what we do every year. It's like an annual thing. And he says, well, honestly, it was going to be either McElwain or it was going to be Jones. One of them is going to look horrible at the end of this game. There's no way. It would have been the identical hot seat for him.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think this is a hot seat issue now, or do we just move on? We lost a close game and we move on.
Yeah. That's definitely hot seat for sure. I think UT's so fed up with Butch Jones. Fans are fed up. I think coaching staff is now fed up. I think he's gone.
You're not fed up, though, John. You want to give him.
You know, listen, I disagree with the calls. I certainly disagree with a lot of the calls that lots of our coaches have called. I think that here's what I see, and perhaps this is just from a perspective of what happened, you know, in our history, that when you make a change, sometimes you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you know the guy you're going to go to and he's a sure thing, then there's a price to be paid for the stability of the program with recruiting and other things. And I think some of the changes we made, believe it or not, in the past were the right decisions at the time to make. So there is a gamble. There's no decision you make that doesn't have risk. But he could go. Look, if they beat Georgia and South Carolina and Kentucky, we probably win the East. And Florida is suspect. They're not going to win all their games, in my opinion. So it's still a young season. I don't think you get rid of them now.
It's just such a big game for UT every year, that rivalry game.
And like our seasons can kind of be ruined.
Did we win last year?
Yes.
Or did we lose?
That was the first time in 11
We came
years.
Back from 21-0 and blew them out.
Mm.
Well, it was 38-28, I think, was the final score. So
Yeah. But we were down 24 or something like that.
Yeah, we were down. It was 21-0.
Yeah.
And then it was 21-3, I think. And then we scored 30-something, 35 unanswered points in the second half.
I just think Butch Jones is, like, such a headache for UT fans already. Like, this was going to be his last year for sure anyway.
Well, part of it's because we spend so much money on the athletic department, and it's like, why can't we field a better team? We have good recruits.
Totally, like... Yeah. You know, switched out his staff. Like, they're all new people now.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was the last straw of the Florida game.
But. I think he coached a good game all in all. I think that the quarterback.
No.
Well, listen.
I don't agree with you.
I know.
But it's only in the red zone. Look, it's not his fault that we flubbed the kickoff out of bounds. It's not his fault that we had a muffed punt. It's not his fault that the runner ran the wrong route and he threw an interception.
Kind of is. It could be argued that it is his fault.
Well, I understand we could always argue that because he's going to take the blame for it. Now, is it his fault that you run 4 straight pass plays on the 1 yard line? Yes. Like that, at that point, you're accepted. Now, if he would have scored a touchdown, by the way, in the end of the fourth quarter, John Kelly had the ball in his hands on one of those passes and could have won the game there.
Kelly.
Yeah.
But you can't blame Kelly. Although,
I feel bad for Kelly.
The
honestly.
Gator chomp in the end zone after his big run is probably why we lost because that
penalty.
They had that.
Field position.
Yeah, field position, the 15 yards on the kickoff.
He's not throwing it that much farther because he threw it 65 yards.
We would have had him on the 20. Yeah, he's no way the Hail Mary, you know. And is it Jones's fault we didn't put somebody back to cover, you know?
What do you guys think about the Vol trash can?
I think it'll go away. I think it's gonna.
Of course, it's gonna go.
Do we know why they even? What's the? Why do they hold the trash can again?
Yes. It didn't help. It's gonna go away.
It's a rally. It's like
they
a rally.
They had it last year, by the way. It's not new.
I don't even get it. Like they explained it somehow in like an interview.
So you're not
I
saying in any way
it.
That your team is trash. Like, tell me, make sure
it's all it symbolizes guys, I mean, to me.
It's all over the podcast and all over the articles. Sure. Again, if Tennessee's winning every game,
right?
Nobody's reporting on this. Same thing with all of his cliches. If Tennessee's
winning
every game,
if you intercept it, yes. You have to come spike the ball into the
if
trash
can. If it's a takeaway, if there's a turnover and you retrieve the ball at any sort
what
of
is that?
Fumble.
What does that mean? I'm taking out the trash?
I don't know. They just slam it. I don't know why it's
a
trash can.
This other team's garbage? I don't understand.
I don't know. But, you know, did you see, I forget, the opening game,
we recycled plays from last year, and that's why we're so predictable? Because
wow.
It should be a recycle bin, a big green can. Hey, guess who's running up the middle again? Us. We recycle here at UT.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, you saw Texas A&M in that first game. They have like a scepter. So everybody has something for the secondary.
It's better than a trash can.
Sure. It's like it's weird, though, like ceremony.
They
like
hold
hand
it
this,
up.
Oh, and like, bow to me. You know, it was very.
I dub thee cornerback.
And then I forget which team has a gold chain. Like a huge. It's Miami.
That's a Miami.
Huge
Miami.
Gold yep. chain around their neck if they, you know.
You wear it the whole next series and then try to dodge questions about recruiting violations because you're wearing a huge gold chain.
Well, it was a rough weekend. As a friend over who we go to church with, who's just a great friend, is from Wisconsin. He's not really into college football. He's a pro guy.
Dude,
but
Wisconsin guys are not into college ball.
Well, hello.
Like, for sure, Packers. But Wisconsin's not
Wisconsin
bad.
Wisconsin Badgers?
Well,
they're
good right
Wisconsin
now, but they're not historically.
You're
like
just detached from it. I know a lot of Wisconsin Badgers fans that are insane.
Well, I've spent some time up in Wisconsin, and they all admit it. Like, college football is not a big thing up there. Huh. Very strange.
Well, I mean, compared to here.
Like, well, they just say it. Like, they don't even have the reference of down here as opposed to up there. They just say, like, yeah, we're just not
so you're saying
it.
All people from Wisconsin think this?
No, this was a group of, like, four or five dudes. They were just like,
that's
nah,
a,
we're
not
that
a very big
they
sample
speak,
size.
They speak for
we're
the
gonna
whole
get
population.
Emails. We're going to get angry emails.
Did you know?
Badgers so. Forever!
Please email us.
You take
us
your
hate
SEC
mail.
Loving behind.
Where? Are they suddenly Southern?
Yeah, I don't know.
Badgers forever.
Every time I want someone to sound belligerent and uneducated, somehow I give them a really thick Southern accent.
You just intensify your own accent?
Yeah, I do. I
do that in argument with my wife. If I tried to quote, you know what you said? You were like, I'll tell you right now, you should take your trash out or whatever. And she's
how did that work out for you?
Do I really sound that way? I was like, no. That's my, at church we call that my Kentucky guy. It comes out almost every time I speak. Like he.
Now we're
going to
get angry emails from Kentucky.
Well,
they had it coming.
Just kidding. We love Kentucky.
If you're listening in Kentucky,
beautiful
God love you.
But yes, he sat with me and he was like, he came, wore an orange shirt, the whole deal. And about by the fourth quarter, he looked at me and he said, how do you people endure this? Like, this is
gut-wrenching.
And he
said, what do you mean, you people?
I was like, I know. I mean, this is what it's like. We don't just win games. We should win. And we do every once in a while.
It was a heartbreak in there, too. The big pass to the end
zone. Last play of the game.
It's exactly what Georgia did.
Literally last second of the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did the same thing against Georgia last year, though. We just happened to throw our own Hail Mary to win the game at the end. Like, you take the guy off the trash can. Yeah. I don't care if he has pads on or not, and you put him at the 1 yard line, and you say whatever happens, knock that ball down.
Yeah,
you cannot let them. But I don't think they knew it was going to be a Hail Mary. They thought they were throwing from the middle of the field to get a field goal range.
They were only two. Weren't playing prevent.
No, it
they
wasn't
were
even
two
the play.
Defenders in the end zone. Right,
Felipe Franks. I read it. It wasn't even the play call. He just he got flushed out and couldn't get to the middle of the field, so he just heaved it into the stratosphere for the
great throw. Huge,
perfect.
Throw.
Right on the button. Right on the button. So
Dormady made a fantastic throw
to the tight
end in the fourth quarter, up the right into the end zone.
Yeah, to Ethan
Wolf.
It
was beautiful.
Perfect. And that's how he throws normally. But he's throwing off his back leg all day for some reason. But normally, what you saw there, he's a really, really tight passer. Guys, they could be good.
It was insane.
They could have a great season after this.
If you're not a sports fan and you're listening, I just apologize. We went way too far with this. Yeah. So Marty, my buddy Marty, he coached for Christian High School in South Carolina for like 10 years. So he talks about that in his act, and he talks about like this is a Protestant school, so we can't run a Hail Mary. He goes, I had to send in a Bless Billy Graham. Like, that's all
that's, that's good. That's
Who's good. Marty for
Marty
audience?
Simpson. He's a great comic. MartySimpson.com. And he's a great friend of mine and a funny, funny comedian.
We should have Marty on the show great sometime.
Guy. He should. He would love it.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody likes talking more than Marty Simpson. Let me tell you that right now. it'd be a two-parter just by default.
I'm going to tell you something. Marty was speaking at the Christian Comedy Association, and his whole take on the way he broke down comedy mm-hmm. into this science and understanding that, I mean, I was very, very, it educated me. I learned a lot in this session. He's a very smart guy and a very funny guy.
He is. He's a great yeah. friend, and, you know, I bust his chops, but he's a good dude.
Yeah. So, Johnny, you literally, and Dane went and picked you up at the airport a few minutes ago. You literally just got off a plane. Where were you exactly?
How do you figuratively get off a plane?
Well, I mean, we could have said Johnny just got home, and it could have been yesterday. But I mean, like, oh, okay. You haven't been home yet. You came straight to our studios today.
You're air quoting. He got off the plane, in air quotes. I was in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, for a show last night at a church in Jamestown, North Carolina.
Oh.
It was a nice, good show. I work with an organization called New Missions sometimes, and they do like child support.
Aren't you one of their spokesmen?
Yeah. Your plug is going great.
Yeah, sorry,
let me tell you,
they're a child sponsorship program in Haiti, and so we raise money and they have tables with sponsorship packets, yep. and you come out, and so it's kind of like that. So I do show; they do comedy shows to help promote their ministry, and so. They're called Laugh All Night. And so I work with them about 10 or 15 times a year. That's and great. It's so fun. And we got a lot of kids sponsored last night, which was really satisfying. Yeah. It's a really cool thing to do a show and get laughs. But then you come off stage and like somebody's really like acting on mm-hmm. their like I talked about it in the show last night. I said, we're so conscious now of the church not spooking people and like, let's not make any sudden movements. Let's not be weird to people.
Right.
And it's so cool to see an event where you can go, we can be the church tonight. Like, be the church. This is what the church should be doing.
Yeah. Right.
And so I love that. And so I kind of talked about that last night as a part of the show. And we got a little under 20 kids, maybe wow. 18 or 19 kids sponsored.
That's
so
amazing.
It was really cool. So anyway, yeah, Dane picked me up. But here's the thing. I come out with my bag and I forget what Dane drives. I knew it was like a Chevy something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it was white.
Right.
So this white car pulls
Malibu.
Up.
It's a Chevy Malibu.
Yeah. So this white car pulls up in a Chevy. It would happen to be an Impala.
Oh, no.
And I'm looking through the windshield, it's kind of like tinted, and I see this guy, and he kind of nods at me. And I think, well, that's Dane. Then he pulls up past me.
You
like,
saw him?
But you like, know what Dane looks like. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah,
okay, okay.
But he just...
Because he's right here.
I need to probably get my eyes checked.
Okay. You're Johnny.
This guy pulls up.
Where's Moron? He pulls Moron's
up,
here.
He pulls up past me. And I'm thinking, why'd Dane move? That's weird. So I kept walking. I walked over, and I reached down to like... And I look in the back seat. I'm like, I'll just put this stuff in the back seat, I guess.
There was a body there.
Oh, right, no, dude.
Right as I started over the helmet, this guy goes, dude. I go, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were my friend. And he was like,
I'm not.
And he gave me this look like, no, we'll never be friends. Not only am I not your friend.
Is that the story you said you had to tell me?
Yeah. That really happened.
Oh, my God.
So I should probably get my eyes checked.
You're
like on a TSA website right now. Like,
so then when I pulled someone up tries to get in your back Dane, seat. When I saw Dane for real, I was like, I was make sure, like, that's okay. Oklahoma hat,
Oklahoma flags. Yeah.
Why are you flying flags? Is it a game?
Because we won. I don't know. It feels good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does probably does feel good to win.
After a loss, I think you should have to fly those at half mast, like roll the windows down halfway. Just let them
I fly them
out.
For losses. I fly them every time we play on the weekends. Yeah. And I take them down Monday usually.
Anyway, if you're out there and you're listening, there's no way that guy's listening, but I'm sorry. I don't.
That is so funny, dude.
I didn't get in, but wouldn't that have been something?
I love that you held it for the podcast. For the podcast.
What if he would have like?
I just don't.
What if he just would have taken you somewhere?
Wouldn't that have been something?
Be like, you know what? What if he's like one of those guys? Who's,
why did he nod at you? That's what I want to know.
I think he maybe he saw
that
maybe
you were
he was on maybe he was on
him.
Bluetooth and he was just like, yeah, be right there, and he's nodding, and I'm thinking like, oh, this is clearly Dane.
He said, dude,
he cut his hair.
Did he look anything like Dane?
A little bit. But not up close. Like once you lean into their window, you really get a good look.
Dude. Is that really what he said? That's awesome.
I think he said, dude, no. Dude,
it's
no.
It's pretty tame for what was happening.
And then I kind of went, oh, sorry. And then I turned around and I was like, and then he got out, and then his friend showed up that he was really picking up. And I'm sure they're talking about it the whole way home. They're just this dude was trying to climb in my car.
That is great.
But it's
in your defense, he could have been a Lyft driver or something.
Well, it's the days of Uber, so I could have just thought, oh, this is my Uber. So that's probably what he thought. This clown doesn't even know.
Right.
They send you that picture.
You know, that's funny, though. I wonder how many people are just getting into random cars thinking it's their Uber now. Because there's, you know, I know it's supposed
to have see. Like, you've got the stickers.
Yeah,
the
but it's not like you. It's not like your car is painted green.
Now they're neon. Now they have, like, neon signs.
No, it's
right?
been iffy a couple of times for me with Uber where I thought, this is, okay, it said Toyota Camry, but that's a really common car.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I could go out with my car tonight, put nothing on it, and just hang out and see if someone gets in and make some money.
John, this sounds really
why would you do that?
Like, hey, where are you headed? You know, he's like, I'm not here for Uber. I'm here to kill you.
I actually drove for Lyft for a few months.
That's right.
And it was terrible.
You didn't like it?
I really hate it.
You can't make a lot of money, can you? Can you make?
Well, I think once you spend gas and like the wear on your car, I just don't feel like it's
we got to get
it.
Your car looked at, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Dane's tires. Dane's car shakes like just – it's awful.
Is it just his alignment or something?
I hope
we
so.
We don't know.
I hope it is something.
Like, literally, you're just hoping?
Here's what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to take it in.
He said, I will not take it in because he doesn't want to know what's wrong.
It works still, and I don't want to pay
– this is why women outlive men,
amount of
by
money.
The way. This is why women outlive men because
– oh, yeah. Emily's been riding me about it,
but
sure.
Even like with our body, like they'll go to the doctor. Like a guy's like, my arm, whenever I bend it, a searing pain shoots up into my shoulder.
Oh, you want really? To pay for it, dude.
What
That's
did the doctor
why.
Say? I'm not going to the doctor. Yeah. I'll keep
You
I'll keep
know
doing
that
this.
You are talking about yourself right now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm. Like, you're the worst one.
Well, I've needed glasses for a while, and so and I about got into a stranger's car today. So
you don't wear, like, contacts or anything?
No.
I feel like you're a contact person.
Well, I'm a contact person for a lot of things, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a contact person for JohnnyW.com.
I feel like I've seen you put in contacts before.
No, Johnny doesn't.
You probably Nothing.
You don't like touching your eyeball, if I was guessing.
No.
I mean, I don't know who
does. Who likes touching their eyeball?
Yeah, that's really
scary. People put in contacts.
Everybody I know that has contacts, every now and again I'll be out with them and they have this moment where the contact will roll up into their eye wrong.
Mm, yeah, that's
And that's
horrible.
A scary, awful. You can scratch your cornea.
Johnny, are you literally trying to create horror
stories? Or your iris or other parts of the eye that I don't know?
Half of the world wears contacts and they're just fine.
Half the world does not have contacts.
Well, I mean, I'm not a statistician. I'm not like literally on
the... I think you mean statistician?
Wait a second.
Is it statistician?
Statistician just sounds funny.
It's statistician.
No way.
Statistician?
Statistician is more correct with the original, the root word.
Statistics.
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 So my doctor, I actually had a physical.
You guys are
definitely
crazy.
Google it.
I actually had a physical this week. And my doctor, I was telling Dane that, Johnny, there's certain things when you turn 30, which I'm way over now, but I asked Dane if he'd had
You're not way over 30. How old are you?
I'm 38.
Wow. Thanks, 30.
Thanks. This hurts.
It is a statistician, guys.
My bad.
Dude, sidebar. Wow. Do you know how old you were when you first came to this church and started youth
pastoring? I was 25.
You were 20. I thought you were 24.
Well... That's really close to 25.
You know how old I am now.
That's not bad. That's kind of hair.
Well, splitting. The only reason I said it, you did a message one time that always stuck with me for some reason. I don't even know what it's about, but you referenced.
It always stuck with me.
This is the story of my
You
ministry.
Referenced Switchfoot, their song 24.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm 24
Okay,
at the time.
Maybe I was 24.
So that's what made me think.
Maybe you lied to
Dude,
make
that
it
was,
fit the song.
That was.
Wow, that sounds just like me.
I am older now than you were.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When you first came to this church.
Yeah, I have that realization about
so
you guys all
weird,
the time.
Man.
And like, just like Switchfoot's song 25, everybody's out in the audience. That doesn't sound.
No, but I asked Dane this week, there are certain things, you know, they start checking whenever you're 30, and they're very uncomfortable. I'm just going to put it that way.
Yeah.
It's very invasive. Now, my wife tells me I don't get the right to be upset about that because of all the things women have to go through.
You're right.
And she's right. But still, but when I was 30, he was going to check this because I asked Dane, have you had that done yet? He was like, nope. And I was like, well, get ready. So when I was 30, I went in. This is a true story. And my doctor, I was in position for this to happen.
I like how you cleared your throat. Right.
I'm uncomfortable just thinking about it. I was in position and he was preparing for the exam. And I literally, I stopped I put my clothes back on and I turned to him and said, I'm not ready.
I need another year.
I said, I will see you next year. He was like, are you serious? It's like, I'm not letting you do this today. I will see you next year. I probably am fine. And I was. I just need another year to get ready for this.
If you're listening, go get yourself checked out. Don't let John's... Somebody could have a polyp or whatever.
Yes, I know, but I'd never had. It was just Jeez. Like, no, I did this week. Yeah, now there's no. Now just
wait. When did this story happen?
When I was 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my first time.
Just like that switch for the song.
I was thinking it was like the other day.
So my doctor did call me this morning, Johnny, and he gave me like it reminded me of that Simpsons episode. He called me this morning. He was like, John, because I was feeling kind of bad, having some stuff, and he checked all. He says, Johnny, I'm looking at your blood levels. It looked great. I mean, even your cholesterol, it's right where it should be. Your HDLs are high. This is great. He says, I really have nothing that I could yell at you about. He's a really nice guy, you know. And I almost did a Mr. Burns. Like, so what you're saying is I'm invincible.
Well, actually, no, John.
Invincible. Well, I'll tell my wife I'm invincible. Like, I probably couldn't run a mile right now, but invincible. So,
okay.
You know, there was a story. No, I shouldn't tell that story.
Oh, you got to tell this story. Is this the one I'm thinking of?
I don't even know why I brought it up.
Speaking of stories held for the podcast,
no,
I got to do this.
Guys, I really think it's a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
So
it's perfect. It's a perfect story.
First of all, it's true. It's not like you made it up.
Right. It is true.
You don't have to be offensive while you say it. Like, just tell the story.
Can I if I try?
Yeah, oh, sure.
Listen, I don't want to be offensive to anybody in the story.
Right.
But it is a true story. And I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to tell it, but I will just say this.
You are going to tell it.
It was the greatest story I've ever heard in my life.
You told me, when I got in the car, you said, I'm about to tell you the greatest story that's ever been told, except for the gospel. Like, you had to give it that disclaimer? It's like, yeah, okay. I think that goes without saying, John.
Oh, man. Well, okay. Okay, but all the disclaimers, just everything I could say that would make you not be offended, just
Stop.
Insert
just
that
say
here.
Imagine he's already said that.
So mother-in-law tells me the story of the day. We're at their house, and so here's the deal. She knows someone who lives in a small West Tennessee town that will remain nameless. I don't want to offend them either. And so there's a lady there who has a severely autistic son. He's like 21 years old, and he's high-functioning, and he can stay by himself. He's obviously an adult now, but he has like a fixation on like elves and dwarves. Like
mystical creatures.
Yeah, leprechauns and the like.
Yeah, I used to work in a mental health group home, and so some of the guys had schizophrenia and schizoaffective disorder and things like that, and a lot of them, they would if they had – they had like a fixation on one thing or another.
Yeah.
Or they would have a tick. And so, yeah, that's very common, actually.
Okay. Well, he, you know, nice guy. Just, you know, that's his thing, you know. And so the mom goes to get her hair done. She comes home to the house, opens the front door, and that house is just ransacked.
Right.
Destroyed. And so she runs inside. She's like looking for her son. And he's just sitting there, and he's fine. And she's like, what in the world happened? Did we get robbed? What happened? And he looks at his mom. This is a true story. And he says, Mom, I told you they were real. She goes, what? I told you they were real, and I caught one. And so he caught one. He leads her to the closet in the bedroom, opens the door, and inside is a Jehovah's Witness little person tied up in the closet.
Oh, my God.
And so the mom is, oh, my gosh. And she runs in and starts untying the guy. And he was just really gracious about it, apparently. He was like, well, I could tell something wasn't right, you know, about the way he was thinking about me. And he just left.
But he obviously put up a fight.
The place is just, I started going through all the things in my head, Johnny.
Yeah, the house was a wreck.
Like, imagine, he just came to the door and knocked. And it was like,
fight for his life.
Yes,
poor man.
It had to be just terrifying.
And then the guy's like, these elves are squirming. Like, he's...
And then I thought about the poor young man who his whole life has been told, no, no, no. And like for that hour, or whatever, however long he had that dude tied up in his closet, he was like, oh my gosh, I'm right. All is right. Everyone else has been wrong and I'm right.
And he's got to keep it there to prove.
Yes, he's vindicated. Save him. Oh my gosh.
That's
and
unbelievable.
So when they told,
my favorite part of the Jehovah's Witness saying, like, I knew something was wrong. I said, when you told me, I said, he probably knew something wrong when the door opened. Like, someone's listening to me. They're not hiding under the couch. Like, something's horribly wrong.
Dude, it sounds like a joke.
It does.
It sounds like a joke that everyone tells.
And no one will ever know because the guy didn't press charges, obviously. So it's not in the papers or anything.
I'm not meaning it to be offensive to Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
People with autism.
Sure.
Or people who are little people. Because, guys, it just happened to be a perfect convergence of all of these things.
That's incredible.
And I call my mother-in-law. I was like, you could make my entire writing career if this is true.
Dude.
It's unbelievable.
Like, this is unbelievable. And I am.
Wait, what's the connection with your mother-in-law?
I wish you wouldn't have asked that.
But that's crucial to the story.
No, it's not. It's like a friend of a friend of a friend.
Like, when my wife
she got this story
tell
online,
it, no,
didn't
no, 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 no. And I asked her, and
she searched dinner party jokes.
You want to know? You want to know? Okay, because you're going to be sorry that you asked. But this is how I know. Because at first, to me, I couldn't remember it. My mother-in-law goes to church with someone whose daughter-in-law is married to a PA, a physician's assistant, who works for a doctor whose wife was getting her hair done at the at the salon. And the hairdresser told her the story because the lady was her client. Boom.
So this story is like it's so like good. 10. It's like it's gone through
it's
these
like
things.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who.
We should Google it actually just to verify.
No, it'll just crush me because I'm going
to
write about it.
We need to. You can't write about it if it's already a story. That's like a joke.
You can write about it if it's not been written about.
Yeah, but then people are going to know it's not original. It's just going to be a joke that you
I'm
put
not
into
acting
a book.
Like I made it up.
But it's not a joke, right? If it's
no,
real.
No, it's not a joke, guys.
That's what I mean.
It's
we
not
need to
joke.
Verify it, though.
Well, I asked her.
Just to be sure.
She said, I swear, when they told the story, my wife literally fell to her knees in laughter.
I think I fell on the ground,
I've
too.
I've had three or four people fall to the ground. Like, this is a literal roll on the
let
ground
it go,
laughing.
Though. That says a lot about, like,
oh, yeah.
He probably was like, this is, like, the persecution that he went through, he felt like.
Well.
So, I think it's an incredible story, and if listen,
we'll have to edit some of this.
No, if you're a little person out there, I think you could see the humor in it too.
Absolutely,
I would hope so. But the thing is,
we don't have any little people here to verify that information. But
we need to interview a little person and say, does this story offend you at all?
Well, it doesn't mean they can speak for the entire population, though. It goes back to Dane speaking for Wisconsin.
That's true.
You know,
are you saying all little people don't know each other? It's like, oh yeah, Jimmy, I heard that one.
Well, oddly enough, my friend, Jimmy, who I told the story to, he was like, he has a good friend who's a Jehovah's Witness. He's like, I'm going to call him because in the Kingdom Halls, if a story like that happened, they would all know about it.
Right.
They'd immediately go home and start calling everybody.
Yeah, that's a good
point. So he was going to try to see if he had
to see the veracity
of
the story.
Yeah, so, but.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Amazing story.
And I think what's amazing is that, like, okay, I'm not about political correctness. I am about not offending people.
Sure.
I do think we could take it too far, you know, and generalize and all those things. But I think about the rules, like the rules that we have for conversation and the rules that we have and how the rules are constantly changing.
Yeah.
Like I'll hang out with somebody who's in a generation ahead of me or behind me and their set of rules are different. I came through college in the late 90s. Man, it was like the apex of the political correctness movement that – right then and there, I remember being Johnny. It's fascinating. I was in a because I was a history major. I was in an African history class, which was a really hard class. And you know, it made sense to me at the time, and it still does. Like they said, you know, we don't call them tribes. Like why do you call them tribes? We call them nations. Because what makes them a tribe and you a nation? It's this, you have this thing because what, they have dirt floors or because they're eating something different or dress something different than you do that suddenly, it goes back
it's
to-
It's a way to be dismissive of them.
Right, to say, hey, we're civilized or you're not. And that's how it used to be in the 18th and 17th centuries especially. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not uncommon to call someone barbaric or uncivilized based on the way they dress, the way their language sounds or how their technology was compared to yours. And I thought that was good. Because to me, it helped me to honor, to go, hey, you know, these are not, I'm not just looking at something- that's abstract. These are real people who just the way that their nation or the way that their culture is structured is so much different than mine, and it's not lesser or greater. It's equal, and that culture is equal across the board.
Yeah.
But it's those rules now. It's so funny when you get down the road. If someone hasn't agreed, someone hasn't agreed in their own level, then now we're all offended because I'm playing by a set of rules that we didn't all agree to. which is, I think, what the political correctness movement is about, is it's trying to get everybody to play by the same set of rules, except that they're always changing.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's hard to tell a story because our hearts are, my gosh, of course we don't want to offend anybody in this story. But this is a hilarious story. It's like you said, it would be almost wrong not to tell it for the sake of what? You just hope people can hear, you know, the context of it.
If they can't, send all emails to John at.
Right.
That's the – before we did this podcast, you're like, in your head, the only way I'm going to tell this story is if I make it into a sermon.
Guys, don't we do that all the time.
The only way you could do
Isn't
it, huh?
That just like our Lord? You know? No, and honestly, I don't know. Well, I talked about rules yesterday. I spoke yesterday at church. I talked about rules and agreements. And I think a lot of this has to do with the way that I think about Jesus differently now, or think about life differently, or faith differently. Because I told a story yesterday, and it's so true. I'm an agreement person. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wouldn't think of myself as that, but marriage revealed this to me. So we built a house in 2005. When we built the house, we had this very neutral 12 by 12 inch tile put into the bathrooms. And I remember this. Now, I can't remember, God's honest truth, right now what day it is half the time. Mm-hmm. I may wake up and think it's Wednesday all the time when it's Tuesday. Always on Tuesday, I think it's Wednesday. I don't know why. Okay. And so just keep in mind, you have a great memory, Johnny.
Today's Monday, by the way.
Is it really? I'm just kidding. And so, you know, you have this great, it's not because I have a great memory. It's just because some things stick with me.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason, my wife told me this. She said, we're going to put this neutral tile in because it will match everything. No matter how we repaint the bathrooms over the years, we'll never have to replace the tile. And that, out of all the things in life that I don't listen to and can't remember, stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost 12 years later, my wife came to me and said, hey, I think I want to think about getting new tile in the bathrooms. And guys, I'm not proud of this, but I freaked out.
All right. She broke the agreement.
She broke an agreement.
That's terrible.
I was like, you said, she's like, number one, knowing that I can't remember anything. She's like, you remember that?
Yeah.
That's what you chose to remember? But you said, and it probably goes back to money and security or whatever, because in my mind, I never have to pay for new tile or do the trouble of the new tile. And finally, I don't know how conversationally she held this mirror up to me where I realized what an idiot I look like. Mm. Like, I'm fighting over the color of tile, and it really doesn't matter.
I got to tell you, you don't seem like an idiot to me on this one. I would be enraged as well.
Yeah, 12 years later?
The point of tile is it's forever. That's the point of tile.
It's not fun.
That's why you choose tile.
Put up tile.
It's forever.
Guys, you're talking me back into my bad place.
Laura, you're just wrong. We love you, girl, but holy moly, are you wrong on this?
What color is the tile? What was it?
It was like a neutral beige.
See, that's fine.
What else?
That sounds great.
But
was it beveled? I bet it had a nice bevel.
So she came to you and was like, we need some bold colors in here.
You know, I don't remember what she wanted to go to because we didn't move in houses. But
you moved over the tile.
Over this. Wow. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But fine. But the idea that I would be so, like, I couldn't hear her.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear what she was saying 12 years later. Like, I fought it for a year. And finally was like, what's the big deal? If I love my wife... She finally said, don't you think I'm allowed to change my mind? Like, it wasn't in our wedding vows.
She's not.
I didn't vow that we would never have tile again. Yeah. But I took it like that. I took it, you know. And I think that yesterday the message was on giving. It was on, or in stewardship. And I was talking about the way we look at tithing or look at other things in our Christian life as if they're laws. We become, so Jesus came to take away the law. Excuse me. Let's say that again. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And the law in the Old Testament was called a tutor. It was a tutor. And who needs a tutor, Johnny?
A student. Somebody that's not smart.
Johnny, maybe you do need a tutor. But I'm thinking of like little
kids. Did you go to college, Johnny?
Johnny, tell me your college story. And so I'm thinking like little kids. You know, I'm thinking like little kids really need tutors.
Kids are not smart, John.
Well, yeah.
They're students. I was right on both ends.
But students can also be like 35 years old.
No, but I'm saying kids, tutors, you get a tutor for a
How
kid
about
that's
this?
Struggling.
People who don't yet know the content need a tutor, right?
Sure.
And so when Jesus came, the idea was that now I'm going to put this stuff in your heart and you won't need the law anymore and you're going to figure out that by the law you can't be changed anyway. He gave them that because their hearts were never changed. So no matter what I did or he did for them, it never changed them. So they had this rule that it's in order to show them that they needed something else. But literally, when we now have no rule, no law, I found myself in my life becoming a person of law and rules and agreement again, whatever it may be.
It's comforting. We need a boundary. We need like, but tell me how I can get the extra gold star from Jesus. You know, like I understand that we're all saved by grace, but how can I be extra saved?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'll give more. Oh, well, that's great. If I give more, then I'm extra saved more than that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes down to a checklist. You begin a checklist, and I think that's that whole thing, the practical, in the way that ministry worked practically, and from a lot of churches today, it's just no longer, and you're talking earlier about cool church, and how you talked about that. We no longer talk about the just simple message of what we really believe, because we no longer expect it to transform us or change us. So I was in that cool church, late 90s, early 2000, where you stop using the real biblical words anymore, and you substitute them.
Yeah,
you know, and like
give
I
give us an example.
Johnny, give me an example where we.
Well, one time I was in a sermon, and the guy said, "Jesus died to save us from our wrong choices." He wouldn't say sin at all. Sin, yeah. He wouldn't say sin. That's Jesus funny. Died to forgive sin. He would say our wrong choices, and that's not exactly incorrect. But it's a very glossed over
it's very
way.
Watered down.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, like, you know, and even yesterday I said sin and I defined it though. Mm-hmm. Because you may have a preconceived notion. I may say sin, you know, it's at its basic original language definition is to miss the mark.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a target and you miss the mark. So that when you think of sin, if you were raised ultra, you know, in some conservative or religious circle, sin may have such, sin should have a stigma. But it has such a thing that you don't hear it. Mm-hmm. You can't hear the word anymore because it's in a box that you've already put it in. And what I would rather you take it out of the box and, okay, listen, yes, we're all guilty of sin, but it doesn't mean necessarily that you killed somebody or you cheated on your wife. You know, it just means you missed the mark, right. And we're all guilty of that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a time and a place for putting it in layman's terms. But yeah, it's like We are things we're afraid to say. Like people don't talk about hell. They won't say hell. They'll say like Florida. You know? I'm sorry. I just had to do that. Oh, I hate Florida. Why did they beat us? Okay, go ahead, John.
But I think the idea that over time, you know, and you said the church, let the church be the church. My wife and I had that conversation about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was this idea of, and Dane, I've talked about it when I was a young adults pastor. Mm-hmm. You guys,
Pneuma.
Yeah, we had a ministry there for a couple of years called Pneuma after we got a youth ministry, and we're doing weddings left and right and all these things. And I began to realize that I had helped to foster an environment where it was the Christians who were more likely to roll their eyes when I would read a scripture or to say those Christian words like sin.
One of those people being me, for sure.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Probably not to the degree of sin equals wrong choices.
Right.
That's a little silly, but I do get like really turned off by like the Christianese terms, which I feel like a lot of people do. But like, for example, I haven't been listening to a word of this since you started talking about Jesus. I'm kidding.
You clocked out till I said Florida.
It's you know, right like you in. Can sound really preachy, not you specifically. We can all sound this way. Just by using those terms. And so, yeah, I definitely understand the idea of using other terms to explain sin or glory or, you know what I mean? Like I get trying to put it in a different language, so to speak, so that people will be more willing to talk about it or hear you. I just, you know, too far is too far. And then I think they're opposite ends of the spectrum for sure.
See, when I think over time, what we did is, here's my experience. It's not, I can't speak for everyone. It didn't make people more willing. Mm-hmm. It just made it where we had to continue to find new terms to make them feel more comfortable.
Which can make the church probably sound more goofy.
Oh, it's absolutely goofy.
Yeah. If you take it too far, it's just goofy.
You walk in and what are we even talking about here? We can't say Jesus. Yeah. You know, we can't like, and it's this.
What would be another term for Jesus? I can't think of it.
Well, songwriters all the time, we can't say Jesus. We have to say love. Love came down, and like you know, there's a moment in
maybe
time
that just sings better because that's one syllable
perhaps
as opposed
it does,
to two.
And nothing rhymes with Jesus but freezes. So, anyway.
That's.
But At the end of the day, though, and I don't have a problem with that. I love that song and all the songs, but you begin to notice. Jesus does rhyme with Jesus.
Yeah. Shout out to Kanye.
But at the end of the day, like, there's this. I'm on a mission, by the way, to not say into end of the day. I said it at least 75 times in the last podcast.
At the end of the day.
I think that's the first one.
That's all right.
So if I do it, shock me or something.
I'm glad we're talking about
that. It'd be a good
name
for a podcast at the end of the day.
Let's talk about that.
Because you...
That's another thing you said 100 times in the last episode.
Right.
Gosh, guys,
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Did I tell you I came up with another name and I gave it to Dane? It's really, I don't know if it's goofy or not.
I don't think I liked it. What was it? I don't remember.
Was it at the end of the day?
No. And it's not like I really want to name it this, but I thought, I can't say it. I'm going to make fun of
it. I think it's going to be great.
Nah, just say it.
I can't wait for this.
We'll laugh at you and it'll be great.
I don't want to use it. It was just a name that came. I was like, oh. Bantertown.
No, okay. Oh, no. I actually did. Okay. It's a maybe
so
a bad idea.
Take a train to Bantertown, Johnny.
Maybe a bad idea for a podcast, but I think.
Bantertown?
But listen, it might be cool. It might be cool for like a podcast network, like a label.
Hey, guys, you're listening podcast. To Bantertown Media.
Dude, that sounds awesome
to
me.
Won't you take me to Bantertown?
I knew. See, Johnny, only a real friend.
Hey, I'll tell you,
would mock me.
I'll tell you who's got a great podcast name, and that is old Caleb Mabry. He just started a podcast a few weeks ago.
What's up, dude?
What's up, dude?
Yeah,
he's got a great intro.
Did you mean
great
tell me
track.
There was not a What's Up, Dude podcast before? No,
evidently not.
There might be like a What's Up, Man or something.
Oh.
I don't know. But What's Up, Dude is definitely cooler.
Because we have talk about that, but there's a Let's Talk About That, a Talk About It.
Yeah, we definitely had to work around titles.
Let's Talk About.
Very original. Very
bad
original.
Dude, what's up?
No, but I think that over time, it can become no longer the thing that you're about because you've changed the vernacular so much that now we don't know what it is. Like, here's the thing. Yes, if you want to call it something different, that's fine. But do you still know what it is? And if you don't, do you know what repentance is? Ooh, that's a churchy word.
Yeah.
And so do you change it to what? You start finding substitutions or instead of...
substitutions are weak. They're weaker. Because, there's certain words like grace that don't have a real substitute.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the opposite side of that is, you know, we've done that already. For years and years and years with the Bible and translations of the Bible, which I think may be probably helpful. I don't know. More helpful than destructive.
I think putting something in language you can understand. You know, my dad passed away this year, and he was all about that ever since I was a kid. He wants you to have a translation, and he led in a church where lots of people didn't have higher education or they didn't read a lot.
Yeah.
And he was on a mission for people to be able to read the Bible in a language they can understand. I'm all about that. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I think that.
Do you think there are any translations like off the top of your head that are like
you
just
go
really
ahead and
dumb?
Just dump on some translations.
No, not translations. I have preferences, and I know lots of different guys. Now,
what's your favorite?
There are, you know, I'm an ESV guy
right now.
Part of that is now I also like New American Standard, like ESV and New American Standard. ESV is kind of like the revised version of that. I wrote a book with a guy we talked about last time, Todd Wagner. When he quotes scripture, it's all New American Standard, which is very similar to ESV.
Let me ask you this. Are there terms, are there words in the ESV that are way just drastically different from the original text?
From the original text?
Right? Yeah, well, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
But like, what is the original text?
I have no idea. You're the one. You. So John delves into a lot of like Greek. What's
Hebrew.
The word?
Yeah.
Hebrew. Well, there's Greek too.
Yeah, Greek and Hebrew.
Yeah, Greek and Hebrew, but what's the... just origins of the words in the Bible, and you study a lot into that. So I'm curious what you think. Like, are there many terms that you come across that are just wildly taken out of context?
No, I think like I love the New Living Translation. I often use it. It's probably going to be your most conversational translation today. You know, you have the Contemporary English Version. I don't read a lot from that, but like the one in the day, Johnny, was the Living Bible.
Yeah,
and that was
living.
I don't know if I've heard of that. Well, it's like the predecessor of the New Living. The New Living is a New Living Translation (NLT).
Okay,
the Living Bible and I've gone cross-eyed.
Fire
the
Bible.
Message.
I don't know.
The Living Bible. Wow, was the Living Bible and the Message are the both message, they're right. paraphrases.
Yeah,
and so they're not meant to be.
Those are the ones that I when I think of translations that I'm like those might be a little off.
Well, that's why you don't call them a translation. So yeah. That's where people get off if they
what
don't
are they
know
called?
They're paraphrases.
Paraphrases,
but people think they're translations.
Mm. And I did.
It can be very very helpful to you for you to read that.
Yeah,
but. If you're trying to go verse by verse or you're trying to break down the original language or something, which everybody doesn't always do that. If you're trying to exegete, if you're trying to go down that road and you use a paraphrase, then it's not that it's going to take it out of context. It's just it has its value. You have to know where to put it and how to not overplay it as if I'm going to quote this as if it was from the original language. Well, if you quote a translation, then you might not agree with the translation of the original language, but at least they're trying to use that source. But Eugene Peterson, who created The Message, originally wrote it for his children. Mm-hmm. It has a great origin. He wrote it so his kids can understand the Bible better, And it became a thing, and it's beautiful, and I'm all about it. But if I read The Message, I always give that disclaimer, like, this is what it is. Take it and learn from it. It's beautiful. I would suggest also reading it in some of the more direct translations as you go. But I don't know if it's just about Bible translations. I think it's about culture. I think it's about vernacular of the church or of Christians. And that I realized I came to a place in time where if I stand up and just say Jesus and cross and sin and repentance, that there are those who I had raised in ministry who couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
And I'll go, wow, is that what we really wanted? And so at some point, just the simplicity of the real message, I'm saying real message now when I could have said simplicity of the gospel. That was a great one. Do you want to know the best example? We can't say gospel anymore.
Yeah, message and gospel.
I have to say the message of Jesus or the story of Jesus or the good news about Jesus. All those work, and I don't think that's wrong. And if I'm talking to some, you have to if we're translating for someone to hear. But you want to go, hey, everybody. Now, I say that a lot when I speak. Hey, everybody. Pretend you've never heard these words before, if you can. It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it works.
No, I don't think it does either.
But
again, I think even when you say that, my mind just kind of wants to tune out.
But it's I agree with trying to get the audience to look at something with fresh eyes, and sometimes it works. Yeah. You see the video that's going around? It's got 40 million views right now on Facebook. The guy who's colorblind.
Gangnam Style.
No, that's not Gangnam Style. It's a different one. The guy's colorblind. He's this big, burly guy.
And he gets a birthday present. I saw that the other day. Yes.
He puts on these glasses that are evidently they're $400. And his family pitched in for him. And so he is seeing colors. He sees in black and white, basically. He's seeing color for the first time.
Wow.
And he starts swinging his hands.
Dude, he
and
looks like a little kid.
He keeps touching his mouth he's looking everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's what we're trying to do.
I mean,
we're trying to get people to go... Because how much do we take for granted?
Analogy,
If you've never seen a stop sign be red before, it always looked gray or whatever to you.
Yeah. He kept saying it doesn't look like mud anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about that. I thought, man, how much do I take for granted? Just my eyesight or my health and so I think that's what you're trying to do as a preacher. You're trying to get somebody to look at something with fresh eyes that maybe they've seen a million times. And that's why people go camping. That's why people go to the Grand Canyon or whatever. Because it's like... You ever see a picture of the Grand Canyon? It can't do it justice.
Right.
It could be the biggest, longest postcard, and it's not even close to you can't fit the Grand Canyon in a viewfinder. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do with the gospel. And sometimes you hear it again and again and again and again, and it's like, if I hear one more time about the crucifixion, it's almost like the Rodney King trials when they showed the tape. They were afraid to show the video. The defense for these cops fought to keep it out, the video out. Well, this video is so inflammatory. Well, the video was the entire evidence, so they end up getting it in. Then they showed this evidence. They played it hundreds of times for the jury. And at the end, they polled the jury. The jurors let these guys off. They were acquitted. And it was clear abuse of their power. And so that's when the riots all happened. But they asked some of the jurors since then. One of them, I think, even wrote a book. And they said, honestly, seeing it again and again and again, it dulled our senses to it. And so we're like, oh, this is the part where he gets up and they hit him again. It wasn't as impactful the 50th, 60th time. And so that's what happened. The defense started using it to their advantage. Let's watch the video again. Now, you see when this, and they were using it as a ploy. They realized
you're desensitized to what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you grow up like we all did and you become callous, or I like colorblind. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
I'm not seeing this in the vivid way that it truly changes my life.
You just gave him a new sermon.
I'm sorry.
He's
I'm
salivating.
Sorry. I'm out there, you guys. If you listen, if you do our, if you live stream our services, I'm sorry. No. I think there's something to it, though, that like we desensitized, not just to, because like some people in our day, the big thing was testimony. Yeah. So I'm going to get up and talk talk about how bad I was.
Yeah.
And instead of necessarily how good Jesus is. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a subtle difference, but it's a difference. Yeah. Because it became so shocking that people would fake their testimony. Because they thought, well, I got nothing here. I grew up in church.
Oh, yeah.
But if I say I was addicted to heroin, we're on. Like, we got something here we can work with. People started doing it. There was a Christian comedian, famous Christian comedian, that faked a Satanist background.
He was a priest, yeah.
I wanted to be this guy. Like, I saw him he was so amazing. But he would weave in and out of comedic stories into this fake story about his testimony. And you would be totally transfixed by it. And I just, the more I see it, the older I get and the more I've been around this stuff, I read a quote the other day that really summed it up. It said, when I was young, I admired clever people. And now that I'm older, I admire kind people. And I just think that's it, man. When I see somebody who really has been changed by the gospel and they're kind to people, all of a sudden the fireworks and their story and everything, it doesn't matter as much. You're like, how come you're so nice when you don't need to be? What happened to you? That's interesting to me now, the older I get. I'm not as fascinated by like, what did you do wrong that I can, you know, hear about in salacious details of it.
And I think, you know, that, man, it's a beautiful, such a beautiful story every time you hear it. You know, we played a video of a good friend yesterday who's been addicted to drugs for years and years and walked through life with him over many seasons. And he told a story for the first time to our church yesterday. Like he told me, he said, there's stuff in this story my kids never heard.
Wow.
He talked about getting arrested. He talked about, and he was courageous enough to say, and at the end he says, I'm still have these same struggles, but no longer do I struggle alone, and I don't have to struggle as much because I'm in this with people now. That's the message. Jesus is actually changing my desires. It's not just behavior modification, or it's not just put a bunch of people around me who are always watching me and locking me up. Like, I'm living out honesty, and I'm seeing my life change. His marriage was over, and they're together, and they're making it. His kids are here, and they're great friends, and like, I think I feel, you talked about that, this idea of I want everybody to see the colors of it. If there's a thing that is challenging, so challenging, it's that I don't have the right words.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have them for my own self. And it's like, you remember that movie with Val Kilmer called At First Sight?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Val Kilmer's, he can only see up to like age 2 or 3. And then he goes blind. He has this disease. And he learns to live as a blind man. It's a true story. Okay, it's a true story. And later in life, he meets this lady. And his true story is like in his 50s. Okay, it's Val Kilmer though, and he's like in his 30s.
So the real guy's nowhere near as good looking either.
Probably. He has this love interest, and she loves him just the way he is. But she begins to realize technology now. There's this procedure, and he debates it, and he has the procedure, and when he wakes up, he can see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not at all what you think it's going to be. Like, he's mortified. Like, he is so overstimulated. And they meet with all these doctors and these psychologists, and the doctors, he says, your brain was wired to be a blind person.
Yeah.
And so you can't handle. And I think that's the story of the Bible, by the way, when Jesus healed the blind man and he says, I see men walking like trees. Yeah. I don't think we can talk about that later, but he's not talking about, oh, I didn't get it right the first time. He got it right. He could see, but he'd never seen anything. He doesn't know what he doesn't have perception. He only has sight. And Jesus touched him again and gave him the miracle of perception. Now you see that's not true.
He didn't know what he was really looking at first.
That's what I'm asking for my life right now. Like, Jesus, I've been seeing, whether it be grace or the gospel, like, I see it, but I don't see it. Like, it's like trees. I see grace like trees, or I see the gospel like trees. It's just walking around. And he had to relearn. And the best part of the movie is, as they show this, he holds an apple.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor has an apple, and the doctor has a magazine with a picture of an apple, and he holds it up to him. He says, which one's the real one? And Val Kilmer can't tell.
Wow.
He can't tell which one's an image and which one's real. That's the whole conversation we're having about how we listen to the terms when it comes to how Jesus is working in our lives or whatever it may be. You can't even say Jesus working in our lives. It sounds so preachy, but we're missing which one's real.
Yeah.
And when I see my buddy Jason who shared yesterday, or you tell the story of someone's life who's changed, that's the evidence. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be seeing something real. And I just want to, like, I don't have the words to do that, to offer perception and not just sight. So anyway, it's a very interesting, you know, thing I think that God's doing in me, that I hope we can continue to talk about, that I have to spend my life now, I'm going to use a churchy word, repenting, turning away, having my mind renewed. Like, I want to go to every, if I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons I started this podcast is I want every kid, and there were thousands of them that came through my ministry almost those 20 years from East Tennessee to here. Like, I wish they'd listen and hear me say, hey, you know, there's a lot of things, maybe I showed you an image, I didn't know any better, but I see the real apple now.
You've never said that before.
Huh?
You never told me that before.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I want you. That's what I want for you guys. Like, and I wish I could go back. Like, I feel like I trained you to look at magazines and think that that's real. And it's no wonder that it doesn't satisfy people and that they walk away being, people are negative or cynical about it or roll their eyes. And I'm going, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I would have known better the real message of Jesus. I had it. It's not that it's wrong. It's not that it's right. It's not a heaven and hell issue. None of those things. It's just, man, there's something real here. And I don't know how to get people to see it. And so it's going to take God to get people to see it. But I think that's his business, and that's what the business he's in if we'll be a part of it. And he'll let us join him. So anyway.
Johnny, did you say we're going to try to wrap up here, but did you say you had some like segments that you wanted to maybe introduce today?
No, not today maybe, but I want to have a segment. I told John I want to do a segment called Shut Your Mouth, and we just pick out a random person who's saying something stupid. And it's not going to be Trump every week. Don't get me wrong. But it's something that's saying something stupid that we can. There's a Gomez
point
who
laugh
did
at.
Right.
Yeah.
Just as a instructor, like maybe you think that you're the dumbest person out there. And
I
want to encourage people that you're not, because here's proof. Here's the dumbest person out there of the week. Maybe it'll be me sometimes. Maybe I need to shut my mouth.
Maybe we could get people to tweet in the dumbest things they've heard that week.
Right.
Cool.
Or maybe we could, yeah. And obviously if I do something dumb, I tell on myself. I mean, I almost got into a stranger's car today and I immediately was like, I need to tell somebody this. That's just a comedian. That's just what you do. You hide all that stuff if you're a normal person. If you're a comedian, you're like, will this work on stage? Can this be a song? Like, I'm an idiot. So anyway, I'm sorry, sir, if I almost...
I like that. I like that segment idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Well, I mean, I don't want it to be, like, so negative.
No,
like,
we have the track already. We have the Shut Your Mouth track already.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Andrew Gomez...
Just play that.
You can just put it at the end.
You shut your mouth!
So funny.
It's one of my favorite audio clips ever.
It is great. Andrew Gomez. He dropped it.
Andrew Gomez making some appearances on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Today.
We're going to have him in. I'd love to interview
him. Oh, yeah. We need to get Gomez.
It'd be fun to interview Gomez.
Totally.
Yeah.
He's a deep well.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
By the way, when you said Grace Like Trees, I really thought that should be if there's not a Christian band called Grace Like Trees.
I'm trying not to burn it because I may call my book Grace Like Trees.
Really?
I wouldn't mind calling it Grace Like Trees.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Or it could be about like just a girl whose name's Grace. Grace Like Trees.
Grace Like Trees a lot.
It's a children's book.
John not conjugate correctly.
Johnny, fine.
Meet Tarzan, you Grace. That's beautiful. Anyway, you can get that at wherever fine Christian books are sold.
Yes, yes. Mm. I think by the next podcast, I may be able to tell you guys about the next book that's coming out.
Oh, you have a new...
Well, I got a contract. I'm
working on stuff, dude. That's the thing.
Guys, if I'm anything...
Can you give us a hint, maybe?
It's a comedy book.
Oh.
I can tell you that. Or it's a tongue-in-cheek comedy book. And it has a really weird story of how it came about. But yeah, we'll talk about it a lot because it's coming out. I just found out, though, it won't come out until January of 2019.
Oh, geez.
So you're going to have to get it. Yeah, it's... Man. So we'll have a long time.
Why? Why does it take that long?
I think it's amazing you think we'll still
be here. You
don't
take that long to write.
You're very positive, John. We'll still be here January 2019.
52 podcasts from January.
So be on the lookout.
Pre-order now at timemachine.org.
GraceLikeTrees.org.
Now we'll talk about it. We got fun stuff coming. And
we're going to build a Twitter. I'm going to build a Twitter today. So we'll have a Twitter.
We've got a Twitter.
We have a Twitter. Oh,
Johnny, I made a Twitter.
Dane's going to make a Twitter in the past. I'm going to take credit for it in the future.
I'll give you.
Yeah, you can follow us at Dane. Tell him the Twitter handle.
It is @talkabthatpod. So... There you go.
Then and I went back and forth, and now that I heard
really
you say it out loud,
it was really difficult.
We talk.
Well, AB is a, you know,
about.
It's take short
AB
for about.
That. Talk AB that pod.
Yep. Talk AB that pod.
This.
Guys, nobody's going to come.
I'm
going to
make
Twitter.
A Twitter. I'm going to make a better Twitter that makes more sense, and then I'm going to ask you to follow.
I
us
challenge
there.
You to do that, sir.
Talk
we
AB.
Call it X97.
Talk AB.
Well, I wanted to just...
But instead of a B, it's the number 8. I wanted to see if we could get no one who could stumble
we,
on it
we
somehow.
We have an Instagram. It's the same thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's fine.
People you know what's great
it.
For podcasts?
It just sounds
they're
funny
only
when you
audio.
Say it.
You know what's great for podcasts? They're only audio. A photo sharing site. Let's make sure the Instagram
Hey, we
account.
Had to secure it. We had to secure it.
That's true before this brand yeah, everyone, blows up.
Everyone was going to go after Talk AB That Pod. They're beating down the doors. Well, we will. You can go to those right now if you wish.
Definitely. Tweet us your dumb, idiotic thing you heard this week.
Yeah. Or a question or something you want to talk about, a topic, any of those things, we're here for you. So, hey, guys.
Totally.
It's been a fun week.
And if you like the show, please subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. And we can see that kind of stuff, and it really helps out.
Yes, it does.
Tell us hey, what you think of the show, and unless it's bad. We don't want to hear bad things.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to talk about
that. I do. I would love to hear bad things.
Yeah,
tweet us.
The negativity nourishes
awesome.
You. Okay, sure.
Yes.
All right. Send us. Bring the pain. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Dr. Doug Grotheis, host of Truth Tribe, where we seek the truth through reason and evidence about what matters most. And we are not tribal, since truth is for everyone. Please join me at the Truth Tribe as I discuss the reasons for Christian faith, the Christian worldview, and moral issues such as abortion and gender ideology. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search Truth Tribe on your favorite podcast app.